You're listening to Red Nation Online.
There's some space to get a shot away, but he has found Jonathan Osorio. Osorio for Bradley! Michael Bradley opens the scoring! Just over 10 minutes to go until half-time! It's Bradley with a goal!
Saturday, August 29th. It's Steve Perry, I'm Ian Clark, and we're back from BMO Field and a 2-1 victory over rivals Montreal Impact. It wasn't a thriller seen last weekend. However, 3 points are the most important result, especially after Benoit Cheyrou and Joe Vinkel left the match with injuries. We discussed the players who stood out, a man-of-the-match performance from Michael Bradley, perhaps a close second from Jonathan Osorio. We then look ahead to Seattle, where any points would go a long way in breaking into the top of the conference. All that and more in the next 40 minutes on Eastside Stand Up. I think, Steve, the only, maybe start this, I don't know if I'm going to call it a disclaimer, but I wasn't sure if we were ever going to get this podcast going tonight. two reasons. First reason, I didn't think we were ever going to exit the CNE.
Why is that?
There was a couple moments where it was completely touch and go.
Just trying to get out, you mean?
Trying to get out. We were trying to cross through the main way and get out at the Princess Gates. That wasn't happening.
It was a colossal onion. Pedestrian jam.
Whoa, that was a good one. This is a fucking colossal onion. And part two is we stopped in at two buddies, but one of them, whose workplace or company shall remain unnamed, a brewery.
Local brewery.
Local brewery. We stopped in I thought was going to be one of the little itty bitty beers that they're selling to everyone, but he
Happy Days, the 72 beers.
Yeah, he had a secret stash of big cups that he gave us, and then Steve doesn't really drink beer, so chugged my beer to then drink his beer, and once I chugged my beer, he realized my beer cup was empty, and then he refilled my beer.
Anyway,
you can see the predicament I'm in coming now that we're home, is that
he's got his legs crossed right now as we're talking.
Yeah, and I'm trying to keep trying to eliminate the cuss words as quickly as possible. Although it might lead to an entertaining podcast.
Yeah, sure. So, did you get there on time to the game?
I did get there on time. Okay. Should we say the score? Maybe if you want to know that Toronto FC won 2-1.
Yeah.
2-1. We're back for Beyond Field. And we're this is RNO Rooftop Studios on a lovely Saturday night.
Yeah, it's beautiful out.
Looks like it's heckin' to rain. Not a spot of rain on the day. I think it's just an overcast
but it's
evening.
Kept it nice and cool, so it's not like the humidity is not killing us or whatever.
No.
So it was a great day to play football and watch it too.
Yep.
And except the game wasn't so great to watch. I mean, I don't think it was that exciting. There was. So I wanted to just start off by, because when I got there, it was like 17 minutes in, I think. It took me forever to get through. Because usually
everyone says, "Where's Steve?" I said, "He's coming."
Usually,
he told me he's coming.
Usually, I ride, and I get like I can park right outside by the Coliseum, and you know it's like steps from the gate. So, but because of the X, you have to park way back, and then you have to try and get through the X crowd. And I also left late, so all that combined led me to missed the first 20 minutes of the game of the starting but when I got there I was like I didn't recognize the back line except for Justin Morrow. I was going I was asking you if that's Perkis, and you're like, no, that's a new acquisition in the
Williams.
Middle and then I don't even know who the other two guys were on the outside, and then one of them got switched to half for Morgan, which was much better. But anyway, it was just a sort of a lineup of rookies on the back, if I could say
in
that.
Quotes.
Yeah.
Not literal rookies, but rookies to the team.
New to the team. So that's always not going to bode well because they haven't played much together in a game situation, right?
Yeah.
Although last week, Dave, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe we should say, obviously, this is our first podcast back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And thank you to Aaron Kamal. Aaron and Kamal filled in for the 1 week, the game against Kansas City. And then I went on vacation for 2 weeks. And then both Steve and I was on vacation when Steve calls me to say, hey,
can use my ticket.
Can use my ticket. And I said, I was going to say, I don't have my ticket because I'm in Newfoundland right now. So we obviously missed the 5-0. Everyone in our section that we, our friends that we sit around, were saying, you guys missed the best game last weekend.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, we did. I guess I saw the highlights online or rewatched as much, but whatever, about 40 minutes of the game, kind of skipped through the first half, just watched the second half when all the action happened. But that, I mean, to speak to what you were saying, yeah, the back line with Williams coming in and then Kentari, who's still trying to find his feet and we're trying to figure out what this is. And then you have Dan Lovett at left back, which I thought was a bit, for my liking, you know, maybe, and I'll admit perhaps a bit of a Canadian bias. I've always thought this season our best, you know, our best fullback tandem has been Morgan on the left and Morrow on the right. I think that's what.
But they seem to have a rotating cast of characters in the middle. That sort of hasn't been sorted out, and hasn't really plagued us too much because we haven't really felt a lot of pressure. But it kind of almost made the difference today, except Montreal wasn't that strong, and Drogba didn't play. So, you know.
Drogba and Piatti both didn't play for Montreal. Yeah, those are two big things. And maybe the one preface, of course, I think coming to this game, that I sort of had in the back of my head was the last time Montreal came to BMO Field, which was a 3-1 win for us. And I would have said, at that point, probably one of the best games we'd seen, especially from a designated player perspective. All three designated players got in on the goals. It really was, that first time Montreal came here, the Bradley, Jovinko, Altidore show. They all had great goals. They all had something to show. It was a great game.
And they all played today, but not all together.
No. Interesting enough, right? And this is, I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, the second
week.
They
did play together.
But
they didn't start together. So Altidore came in for Giroux, but only 4 minutes after Giroux was subbed off for an injury, right?
Yeah, because.
So some of the things about today's game were that there's a couple of injuries which look like they could affect us because Jovinko went off for injury and so did Giroux. And that could be troubling if any of that's serious, because both of them are great players.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the first thing. You know, the opening of the game.
We suffered casualties from this game.
Yeah, I mean, your late arrival, you know, you didn't miss too much in those first, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, the only thing I would have noted and that I thought was a bit of a thing we can talk at the end if we want to get more into the defense was that, you know, Williams had a terrible turnover to Oduro. Former Toronto FC player, and also not only a former Toronto FC player, but you know when he played for Columbus and I think it was Chicago. Columbus and Chicago has scored on Toronto and has caught our defenders flat-footed and been able to finish his chances. Swoops in on this terrible player from Williams, tries to round Konopka, can't finish his chance. Really lucky 7 minutes in that we aren't looking at a 1-0 deficit. The Reds were extremely fortunate that this wasn't the way that the game started, because it probably should have. And you know, it's kind of reminded me of that Orlando game, the one where we won 4-1, that we saw early on, that Kyle Lahren had that chance to round the keeper and he couldn't finish his chance. So when I saw that and he didn't finish, I said, well, maybe that's a good omen.
We've been
here before where and the game has gone in our favor. But then we saw that Giroux came up with an ankle injury and he tried to continue playing on it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And there was a play shortly after where Montreal sort of had a counter or had a break, and you saw that once he put weight on that foot, I mean, he couldn't run.
Yeah.
He couldn't run. That's as simple as it was.
Which is why he went down.
And when the play was over, he went down. So that, I think, is of the players that were subbed out, and there's another tentative injury we'll discuss shortly after the second half. You know, Giroux has been, I think, you know, some games he hasn't been as influential as others, but overall I think he's been very reliable, calming, steady, all those kinds of words that you want in a defensive midfielder.
He really got the shine when Bradley was away. Like, you saw what he could do
with his passes to Jovinko.
Yeah.
Like, just his vision and his ability just to put the ball exactly where it needs to go.
But today I would say that I got to see a lot more from Warner when Giroux was off. So you got to see that Warner can actually play some of that too. I mean, not as well as Giroux, but definitely he didn't muck up anything.
No.
So
yeah, and Warner has maybe, I don't know if running hot and cold is the way to describe him, but we've seen really good games from Warner.
Especially as of late, yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen that he's able to step up. And all that aside, whether the good or bad, he's definitely like, what's the expression? Like, he brings graft. Like, he is willing to get stuck in, does the dirty work, is willing not to be the star, right? Like, he'll do that. He'll do the shits. He'll get the yellow card. And I think that's something to work, that's, you know, a little, has value on this team. But once Shaver, and that was another interesting, Shaver goes out. The weird thing about Shaver, the Shaver going out, a sight and sound, sort of, light, is it taking, what, 3 or 4 minutes for Altidore to get on the pitch?
Yeah.
I mean, we played with 10 men, and we saw that Bradley was shouting over at the bench.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on until then you realize, he's yelling at Altidore to get in.
Yeah, it was strange. And whether he was yelling at Altidore or yelling at the bench, right?
But
it,
somebody, yeah.
And Altidore was taking his sweet time.
Well, I didn't even see him, like, I think just seconds before he gets subbed in, because it went to a corner, and you're like, oh, maybe they'll get him in before the corner, and the ref's looking to him, looking to the fourth official to see whether, and then the fourth official finally puts up his flag. I thought they were going to just play on, but the Altidore gets in, and he's actually not even marked. Like, he was wide open in that mix, and, you know, he was coming in cold, so I just, like, he didn't really do anything. And I think I saw Bradley try and get the ball to him, but it was just a missed kick and didn't work. Anyway, it could have been great, but, imagine just walking on and scoring. What that would have done to your confidence, as well as, like, sort of stymieing the
opposition. Yeah, for a guy whose confidence has been shaky, yet last week scores 2 goals...
He scored one today, too.
And scored one today, which we'll get to. But shortly after that was the opening goal for Toronto FC, which was...
Osorio.
Right, yeah. Jovinko starts, and he waits to see Osorio open up wide on the left side.
He fed him a lot today, Osorio. Jovinko said. Osorio got used a lot for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He had a post that Altidore finished. That was the second goal.
Yeah.
But Bradley actually carried that ball from our end.
On the second goal. For the first goal, he scores. And that's the one that Osorio takes wide. And he sees two players start to double down on him.
And you were mentioning, so I was like looking at Osorio taking his time with this. And I'm like, because we know that he doesn't kick it right away. And sometimes that's often to the detriment of like the play. And you were actually going, wait. And you saw them him make the draw for the player in the middle to leave Bradley open, which is why. And then he put the ball through him, and Bradley slotted in the far post. But I was like, I was already casting judgment, going, "Fuck, he's gonna miss it again! Like he's like taking too long."
No,
I thought he should have. I thought he was gonna kick it right away and not pass it, but take the shot. But actually,
it was smart.
It was a very, very
because
intelligent
goal. It was almost like. And whether or not it was 100% purposeful, the timing that he did it, Montreal's catching up to the play, and then Bradley is able to take that one little, everything timed right, that him waiting, like taking that extra count, not to knock the ball either on goal or pass it, allowed for everything to set up the way that he did, so he slots it right across to Bradley, who just does a neat touch to the far post.
And it was a bit of cat and mouse for Osorio, because he sort of baited with the ball till the player came to him and then passed it through.
Yeah.
And then, and that was the opening that Bradley got, right? Because as the player came to him, it left Bradley open. And then Bradley actually had the space for the far corner, right? So it was also, because he didn't sink too far in. He was like sort of at the top of the six. Fuck, it was a great goal. Definitely a good goal.
It was nice. Like, there's no complaints about that. And then maybe off the side note on that game is discussing Osorio. People who follow the Canadian men's national team, he didn't get a call-up for the game against Belize. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, no Toronto FC players, Canadians, are going to be playing in that game. And Osorio was in the Gold Cup.
Is it a conflict? Are they playing that next week?
Toronto will be playing away to Seattle. So this would have been something would have left, but Bradley's not going to go up for a friendly for the U.S. But I don't think that's why. I mean, he simply wasn't called up, wasn't it? That's from what we know.
Yeah. Yeah,
which he was in the Gold Cup, and then I thought, with that in mind, Osorio had a lot of touches this game. He had a lot of plays, and there's a couple of plays where in the second half that you noted where he's learning to do that, like a turn, to kind of like twist and turn and sort of bait the defender and then like pull them in.
Pull it around. It's like
pull it around and then turn and catch them going the wrong way.
He did it on the touchline today, but he did it in the home game two times ago. And he did that to great effect too. And I was just like, he's learning a lot of tricks. He also did a lot of footwork along the touchline. Sometimes he lost it, but most times he kept it. And I was like, that's a lot of, when you're doing that kind of that much dribbling in a short space with a lot of touches to the ball, it's like a ballerina dancing, doing tiptoe work. It's like tough stuff, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just impressed with his footwork, but also maybe like he doesn't have enough. He needs more practice with it, but definitely. He's using it. Like it's a sign of confidence. This is the confidence that we were talking about. Like you're starting to see it starting to come through.
Yeah, and I think what I was just getting on the tip of my tongue or the tip of my brain is that you can see that it's he's getting close.
Yeah.
Like he's getting close to pulling that off with more regularity.
Yeah.
He's getting close to being like Osorio, he's the man. Yeah. He's getting there, and we've sort of like wavered back and forth over the last 2 years of, you know, his first season he had 5 goals and was really a bright spot in a horrible 2013. Last year, a little bit more on the back burner, right? Like he wasn't quite out in the forefront, and criticism was starting to rise on him. And this year I think it's a little bit been on and off between Canada and Toronto FC, but I think that's what I would describe about him when we've talked about him on this podcast is that, you know, it's not happening every play. It's not happening all the time. But we're seeing these flashes. And in a game like today where he was getting lots of touches and he was getting lots of opportunities, you can see that it's just a matter of time. As long as he keeps getting those minutes and keeps, you know, I don't want to put a timeline, you know, whether it's next year or the year after. But my feeling is that, you know, he's on track.
Yeah, sure.
To being that kind of player that you say, yeah, I want him starting every week. It's not about development anymore. He's there. That's what I would say about that. Anyways, but if we go into the second half...
So the second goal came in the second half?
Yeah, but before that goal,
yeah,
it's important to note, of course, that Jovinko goes down.
Yeah.
In the 50th minute.
It looked like a groin injury, possibly, which is always worrying.
Yeah, because...
I couldn't tell, though, because he didn't see anything in the play. And he did take a shot from another Serie A player, former Serie A player.
Donadel.
Where... he just lined him up kind of with a shoulder. And
That
was in the first half. And the
flattened him.
And the ref took a lot of flack for not seeing the play. The linesman didn't even... There was no call on it. It looked pretty obvious that it was like a lean-in shoulder kind of thing. But...
It looked like he just ran through him. Like, my recollection was like it wasn't a 50-50 challenge. It was like the guy ran through him.
There wasn't a ball there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an off play. Like, it was off-ball play, right? So the ball had actually come back towards us, and they were both running and just kind of ran him over. It didn't look like that was where the injury happened because he continued to run, and he continued to put through beautiful balls. I mean, there was one he slotted into Osorio. That Osorio, it was a 50-50 ball between him and the keeper. You could see the three impact... There's four impact players closing in on Jovinko, and then he just sort of does this... He runs... to the left and just puts the ball to the right, and Osorio knew that was coming and kept running. It was just a little bit too far, but it was beautiful. I was just like, oh, that's the stuff you see. That's the beautiful stuff, right? Anyway, beautiful. I mean, Jovinko continues to impress while he was on. And did you read the Globe and Mail article
about it? I was going to say, do we want to save this? We might as well dive into it now. Yeah, there's two articles this week.
Yeah, you were saying there's one
in
the
Guardian and then one in the Globe. You said the Globe?
Yeah. So it was a 2-page spread in the Globe. Cathal Kelly writes about him. Finally got an interview with a translator and did like this whole... It was a great piece on him, and it sounded like... I mean, he's got a 5-year contract with Toronto, which, you know, Cathal Kelly even admitted that doesn't mean anything in the world of soccer. But he did ask the question point blank, you know, what if Man City comes knocking, like with a big check? Will you still be here? And he said, you know, they would have come already. And then he said, the thing that he likes about Toronto is he's a bit invisible here. Like, he's the pressure of the press in Italy was crazy, and he enjoys not having that pressure.
Yeah. And so, you know, if there was any doubts that he had feeling about that, he could have just talked to Torsten Frings. And Frings would have said, I stood at the GO train station for hours. And one person recognized me. But Frings also had a similar sentiment when I think he came here. It was like, wow, like,
yeah,
nobody knows who I am here.
Yeah.
In Germany, it's hard. Well, at least where would he have been? He would have been a Bremen, if I'm not mistaken. Werder Bremen. He would have been well recognized everywhere he went. And then there was another article this week in The Guardian on Jovinko, which was a pretty fascinating one. And I think the only thing that, there was interviews with Vanny kind of talking about what a special player he is, which, of course, we're all well aware. But, you know, when we've been doing this running segment of, like, sort of the MLS MVP watch about Jovinko and lining up against players like Robbie Keane or Benny Fellhaber or even Kai Kamara, guys like that. And, you know, I would suggest read that article and watch the highlights that they put in there from the FC Dallas game. And Robbie Keane's a great player. I'm not denying that. And I've seen some good things from him. But I'm really adamant, especially when I look back on MLSsoccer.com when they said at the halfway point their MLS MVP was Benny Fellhaber, which I'm still just... I'm like, come on.
Scratching your head about
it. I'm like, come on. There's a chasm of talent between these two players. Or even if you talk, David Villa is the other guy that I talk about, who I will admit is an impressive player and has a massive skill set. However, watching, you know, at the time when I watched the FC Dallas game, I wasn't that impressed because Toronto were just such shit that night. The game stopped and restarted and whatever. When you look back on the goals he scored now, where, you know, he picks up a ball, takes on a defender, takes it along the touchline, and then chips it over the keeper at almost an 89-degree angle, like just casually, like just kind of pokes it over him like it was nothing, and it goes in the back of the net. And then he scores a free kick from 20 yards out on no run-up. He's standing over the ball and from 20 yards out curls it into the far post. And we can go on about every type of goal he scored so far. True. And then especially even the free kick from last week that we saw where he went the opposite. He usually goes near post. And he went far post off the post. Like, off the post. Every time it's off the post.
Yeah, well, threading the needle.
I'm getting very excited about
it. He's threading the needle, right? And the thing... And
we saw that today. He had a shot. Remember, he had that shot that he... The credit to the Montreal keeper.
Yes.
It was right at the post.
Yeah.
That he got over and made the save. And Jovinko sort of... Ah! Had the frustration in his eyes. We said, I put it exactly where it needed to go. The keeper got there in time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even in the Globe article, they said that, you know, they pointed about all his goal scoring, but they looked at the assist too. So in the combined total points, he was leading the league as of last week before the 5-0 route. So, I mean, he must be on track.
And that's the other addition to that when we talk about the MLS MVP race, where it's like...
But he's not selfish. That's what they're...
That's why, for me, it's like the... Well, Fellhaber's in there too. He has fewer goals and a lot of assists. But Keane still is also... I think Keane is, you know, quite a few goals less, but also has a lot of assists. And he's made some great unselfish plays and set up his teammates. However, if I was to... Not going crazy, but going into argument, I would say for a team like the LA Galaxy, if Robbie Keane wasn't there, I would argue they would still be finding ways to win, and they would still be in the top of the table. Toronto FC, if you're talking about if you want to put in the quotes, your most valuable player.
He makes the point that, like, basically he's a single-handedly pulled this team up, right?
And yeah, to a 500 record of 10. Well, now we're 11-10, I think.
But he also made the point that something that you're trying to talk about, which is the, I guess, speaks to sort of the credentials of Jovinko, which is the vision that he has on the pitch, right? So Kelly also talked about that in the article, which I thought was great because it's like, you know, that's the same kind of off-ball play that he did with Osorio, where he's talking about that 50-50 ball, where he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing, but then he makes this play, and he totally knows. He's so forward thinking that he knows more than anybody else on that pitch is how this game is unraveling. And that's kind of the thing. Like, you know, he'll stand off to the side and all of a sudden he'll make a play and bam, you're like, fuck, this guy's a shaman or something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to read too much into it, but I definitely, you know, vision is part of like a player and how they can sort of think a few plays ahead. And, you know, Jovinko's got it in spades, right?
Yeah. So I think what's a good segue out of that, of course, saying, so he goes out on
he
injury.
Does go down.
And of course, my concern, and I think most people's concern, is
it's only 1-0.
can Toronto FC score without him? Can they look good without him? Can they still create opportunities and put this game away?
And for part of it, they did.
Yeah, and well, within minutes of after that, and then here's part B, is you know a player who has been great for us at times and not so great for us at times, and that's Michael Bradley. And I would say on this day, you know, the man of the match
was
the correct call.
Yeah.
And I think there's been points this season before the Gold Cup where Bradley had a couple outstanding games for us where you could finally see him clicking and sort of just being that nonstop engine that he was for those first six games when we had him in 2014. He's starting to show that again. And I'll add on to that is that a big criticism to Bradley has been that, you know, when Toronto's been in a tight spot and the U.S. has come calling, sometimes for friendlies, he's gone to go play for the U.S. instead. However, from what it sounds like is that for next weekend's game in Seattle, which is a big matchup.
For sure it is.
He's not going to play that game for the States. He's going to stay with Toronto FC. He's our fucking captain.
Yeah. It's good.
Right?
I mean, now it's coming down to the clinch, right?
Yeah.
We're getting down now closer to the race, the playoff race. And
yeah.
These games seem to matter more, right?
Yeah. And if we look at that, the goal, the second goal, which is now the winning goal, I mean, Bradley just took that almost end-to-end.
Well, he scored the first goal, and he did. It was a quarter out, like it was right around the 18, and he carried that ball to their 18, led it off to Osorio, who was at the top of the 18, and then Osorio cracked it off the crossbar, and the rebound just came out to Altidore, who was behind the defenseman, not like he was in a position where the defenseman was between him and the goal, which is where the defenseman's supposed to be, but he was a little off. And we just got lucky the ball came to him where because the defenseman should have had that. But the way it bounced, it came to Altidore. And, I mean, the bounce was with us, right?
Yeah. And there's two things I'm thinking of that play is the first one is that as Bradley's making that run, Altidore actually also made a great run, but Bradley didn't release him.
Yeah.
So there's a brief pause where you're saying, fuck, we blew it.
Yeah.
But what you're not seeing at that point is Osorio is making the run behind him.
Right.
And then Bradley lays in a, if my memory is serving me right, lays a perfect ball just behind Altidore so he can't get a touch on it. And then, of course, Osorio takes it on the bounce.
It was kind of like Altidore was running interference in the front and sort of, you know, waving the flag to get all the attention to him. So he was taking all the attention and they couldn't get to Bradley. And then when they finally was like getting to the 18, it's like, you got to make the play. They started attacking Bradley. Bradley lays it off. But that was at the time when he drew the player. It was the same. It was like a reversal of the first goal with, you know, where Osorio waited, baited, and then.
Yeah. But this time he took it on one bounce.
Yeah.
Which I was very happy to see.
It's a little further out.
Because I would have expected him to try to control it.
Yeah.
And lay it down and shake to the left or the right or whatever.
And lose it.
But he struck it, goes off the woodwork.
Went off the woodwork.
And the second thing I think that was good about that was that Altidore's strike was not clean. You know, it bounced first before it went in the goal.
It did, yeah.
However, he put it exactly where the keeper went to try to save Osorio's spot. So the keeper was going back to reset at the center of the net. So he was going the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it was like primo.
Yeah.
Exactly what needed to happen happened.
Yeah. So it was great he came off the bench. I mean.
Yeah. You know. There's a couple of things where it's just like, I mean, I would say that for a lot of the season, despite his numbers, like we've had maybe I would call it mild criticism on Altidore, but at the end of the day, I mean, I want to see him score goals and I want to see him be confident and I want to see him starting.
Look, he's no Chad Barrett. He does deliver.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, it's funny. It's interesting. Chad Barrett's side note was that Dino, who was sitting behind us, when Justin Mapp came on, they were sort of marveling. We're like, oh, Justin Mapp, he always gets the better of us. Who?
He does.
Justin Mapp was our original target. Would have been the best target for us to get when Brian McBride came back to MLS from England, he was our player through the allocation draft. but he was from Chicago and he didn't want to play for Toronto. He wanted to go to Chicago. Mm-hmm. So we had to trade him to Chicago.
For Chad Barrett.
But we were trying to get
Justin Mapp. Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't give him up. I think there's a couple guys that we, that I'm trying to remember who I, anyways, the listener can remind me. I'm positive Justin Mapp was the name was meant, which was, they were like, no way we're giving you Justin Mapp. And I think at that time, I would have stretched, but I think Marco Papa was on the team at that point. William Conde was a good center back we could have used. Bakari Soumaré, who's was horrible for Montreal this year, but at that point he was a good, there was a couple guys. And then we ended up with Chad Barrett. Very underwhelming, if I can be honest. As I know there's some people who still like him, but I we got the raw end of that. Although McBride really didn't make a huge impact in the league, but
no, sure.
But we could have come out much better out of that deal. Anyways, so the second half sort of winds down. I mean, Toronto FC obviously did have a couple of dicey moments at the back, and of course the goal that Montreal scored with plenty of time left didn't leave much confidence.
No,
how this game was going to end out, and we were not again
in the Toronto curse. It was an ex-Toronto FC player, Dominic Adoro, who scored the goal, and you know he got a proper booing.
Except by the two guys who I think may have been Cameroonian next to us.
Beside us, which is understandable.
They were dressed in red, yet they cheered on Toronto SC. No, and then when Oduro scored...
They cheered Montreal, actually. The one guy cheered Montreal, the one guy cheered Toronto. They were split, actually.
Okay.
But definitely, I would say, you know, it's still part of a long line of people who leave Toronto and score against us, right?
Yeah.
And he actually should have had a few more. Which, luckily, he did.
Konopka made a huge save against him, of course.
He did, yeah. Breakaway, right? Yep. So, Dora had a breakaway, and, yeah, it came out. Konopka cut down the angle and took it right in the chest. It was beautiful. You're right. Anyway, we got lucky, and today kind of felt like the last bit of the second half felt a lot like last year, where the collapse was going to happen.
But inevitable.
It didn't collapse, but it felt like it was going to happen, and we just kind of got out of there by the skin of our teeth, if I could say that.
Yeah. Because
Montreal didn't seem to be that threatening, but they did have their chances, and it could have easily tied it, maybe even taken a win for it.
Yeah, and there's maybe two ways to sort of round out that point is, you know, A... In a way, you could say we dodged a bullet that Piatti wasn't available and Drogba had a, in quotes, toe injury.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like he's just not
fit.
In fitness. But also, the secondary part is I would suggest, and we kind of talked about this after the game, that there's still, like for me, just frustration about this back line that I just have zero confidence. Zero confidence in our defense.
I don't know if we mentioned that Morgan came in at the half. And he had a good second half, so for sure. And the thing is that we also, when Javinko went out, so Sherru went out, Morgan comes in, Javinko goes out. That's our three substitutions.
We're at the 50th minute.
And you can see Altidore holding his ankle around, like there was at least a good 15 minutes left in the game, so he wasn't firing. Morgan went down twice, also in pain. And I saw somebody else. There's, I think maybe Warner, somebody else went down. And I was just like, oh, Finley went down.
Yeah.
And I was like, buddy, you can't go off.
Yeah, you can't go down.
There's nobody coming in for you because we got nothing left.
Yeah.
So we almost also succumbed to substitutions too early. Like, it was injury. I mean, it was all because of injury, but... Yeah, we couldn't make much. We didn't have much room to maneuver with our substitutions today.
No,
it was sort of fated by the fated by the injuries.
Yeah,
by the health of the team, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we hope these guys aren't injured badly, but
no, because we'll if I would say that, to I hope I'm not belaboring the point, is that these are the guys that are allowing our backline not to be exposed as badly as it already is.
Yeah.
That keep us in these games through scoring goals. And, you know, Toronto is, I think, I won't say an attacking side, but I mean, obviously our scoring is what's advancing us in the table right now, not our defensive capabilities.
Well, you know, to me, the two middle guys in the back line are some of the most important players in the team. And the fact that they're rotating all the time, is it like different every week, suggests to me that we've got a problem back there. So that shit's got to get sorted out.
Yeah, and if I will just sort of say, and I will piggyback, you know, some commentary on the vocal minority, because I know that they've sort of been, I think, treading around, you know, comments on Kantari as well. But and if I say Williams in this game, my just instinct, and even as we've talked about Perkey through the season, and I'm honestly trying not to be too unfair, but all to me unconvincing. And like you said, an area of the pitch that absolutely has to be locked down. And if you look at any of the top teams in MLS, I mean, that's something that gets sorted out off the top and is a hallmark of the team, whether you talk about the LA Galaxy, whether you talk about that, you know, the MLS Cup winning Real Salt Lake City
team. Dude, it's the spine. It's the end of the spine. It's the thing that holds everything up.
And if I could play fantasy GM, and I said this is partly as a joke, but I'm just saying, in this offseason, I cut them all. I get rid of Perkey, I get rid of Kantari, I get rid of, maybe I keep Williams if he's cheap. And then I say, Jovinko, man, who's good on Juventus that you think we can bring here? Or who do you know in Italy? Who's good that used to play on Parma? And just say, bring him. And I just say, because you look at a guy like, you look at how good Montreal was with Nesta. And if you want, I mean, you can say they weren't great that season, but the results that Montreal had when Nesta was playing for them as a guy who was, what, like 40? Late 30s, 40? Is undeniable. They were night and day when they had him on the pitch. And even with Ferrari, who has that experience, that's what I would look at. I would say, fuck, man, we have this connection. Why not use it and abuse it? Like, he's loving it here. If he's not going to go anywhere, why not make him more welcome? Why, like, let's maybe get a little more Italian flavor in here than French flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about center backs and defending, what better country to go?
Yeah, than Italy, for sure.
So that's my thoughts on that.
Everyone plays defense in Italy.
Yeah. what year am I thinking of? You know, many Champions League finals, but what was the, you know, Juventus AC Milan final, if my memory serves, 0-0 was the final. I mean, that's just the way they play. Like, it's, yeah. But as we exit this game, you know, we ran into our buddy, two Bryans at the game, but we kind of like shrugged our shoulders, like weren't, you didn't leave that game with like passion. However, I do think you need to look at a game like this where Montreal has games in hand, and if they caught up to us, we would have been even. But now we're ahead with the win. So for me, that was like a little, despite of the way the game was played, I think that was important that we got this bump on 3 points to give us a little bit of space, especially when next week we're playing away to Seattle, who have been, I mean, Seattle's a tough team, but they are shitting the bed this season. And getting tooled by teams they shouldn't be. But you're always worried on teams like that, right? When are they going to finally flip the switch and play like to their full potential? That's my concern going into next weekend. So I like what happened today, and I'm happy we got these points. So, you know, you kind of look at, and I said this in the countdown, in the preview to the match, that, you know, we can sort of belabor the details of how the team's performing. But really they need to do is just get on a hot streak within the last 4 games of the season. And that's what carries you through to an MLS Cup or a successful playoffs. I don't want to get too ridiculous, but you know, it'd be nice to have to not have that wild card spot.
Yeah.
And actually have a home and away leg with a home game. I think that's what we need to be gunning for, and that's what we should be playing for right now. So a home win. So they get a win against Orlando last week and Montreal. The games that you say, the winnable games that you should win, that should be like 6 bank points, we bank them, which has not always been the case.
No.
With this team, right?
So are there any sights and sounds you want to bring up aside from the X? Which is just sort of an all-encompassing experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, of course, as we left the game, we almost never quite got out of there.
Yeah,
it was a nightmare getting out of the grounds.
I want to say
sure.
In the game, sight and sound for me.
There was a drone.
Was it really?
Didn't you point to it over in the half?
No, that was a minion.
What's a minion?
You know the Minions, like that movie?
Okay.
So there's lots of these prizes of Minions because it's like a Pixar Disney film thing that's going on.
Oh.
It's a movie. So there's these things called Minions.
That wasn't a drone flying over the field.
No, no, no. And it was a balloon, actually, a Minion balloon that was floating away. Oh. It was floating up, and it just kept going. I said, look, it's a Minion. Anyway, I guess you didn't hear
it. I thought it was a drone.
No, it was a Minion.
Okay.
No, I wanted to mention that there was a great moment when the South End was singing rounds of that T.O. song, and they were doing it back and forth, so they would each take turns, and it just made the song go on for a lot longer, which was great. I think it really rallied the team. And it was just like this moment where they're singing in rounds, you know. It's like,
yeah,
it's like going, look, it's them. Now it's them, and like different groups were doing it at different times, and it was just so coordinated. It was just like, it was beautiful. That was a beautiful moment,
yeah,
for me tonight. Yeah, just watching the supporters.
And I guess that's worth noting that I think they've tried to do that, but this was the best one we've seen.
Yeah,
and in the early days, what you'd see in section 112 and 111. Was the, you know, Nous chantons les Rousalais, la 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 la,
yeah, yeah.
La 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 la,
back and forth each other,
right over the barrier there,
yeah,
the gap between those two sections. So it's kind of, and we also, what we saw today was Inebriati in 114, and then you'd see it in 112, and then you'd see it over in 116, Kings of the North section.
Yeah,
I think that got the section right.
Yeah,
there were sort of three pockets.
Yeah,
that were making some noise, and I mean today was kind of a. I kind of, you have to admit that some,
well, the atmosphere, the team for sure, yeah, definitely, right?
The atmosphere on BMO Field has a lot, there's a lot of factors that goes into the going off.
Yeah.
Weather, yeah. The day of the week,
yeah.
1 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon, night game, Wednesday night,
the
Saturday,
exhibition.
Sunday night, the exhibition, lots of things. So I think there was a few things that still needed to be lined up for it to be completely going off, but it's
really good today.
It's good to see. Yeah, it was really good. And I would say that, you know, another game maybe down the stretch as we get closer to the playoffs, like I would expect that you would see more of the stadium ignite. Because you've seen games where around the stadium, people start catching on and you feel it. You start feeling that that support kind of like rolling around the entire BMO Field, which is what we haven't had since 2008,
yeah.
Really, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Because they really didn't care for it after that. So I think we should leave it on that, Steve.
Yeah.
We're getting to that 40-minute mark. Keep it nice and tight. I got some sushi coming in downstairs any minute now. So you're at CIUT.
Yeah. Tomorrow
night. Lots of good stuff coming up.
Definitely. Tomorrow night we're doing a show on Hungarian punk. From the communist period, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be having a live session with Choke.
Where can people find archives? Is there a web page or something like that? That might be worth noting.
EqualizingXDistort.blogspot.ca. That's where you can find. We put up everything there.
Cool. And of course, you can get me at Clark RNO on Twitter or info, or have your say at RedNationOnline.ca. Anything that we went over. Hey, if you're like, you got that wrong, fuck, just tweet me. It's not a big deal. Like, I won't get bent out of shape. Or if there's anything here that you want us to discuss, like, let us know.
But we've also got lots of good listener analysis before in the past. So
yeah, keep sending in emails, or just send send me a tweet on game day, and I'll remember.
There's things that we're just not paying attention to that everyone else is. So it's
good. Whether it's how the players are playing or what rules are, etc. Whether you like Ashton Morgan or not.
Well, we got that Bradley analysis, which was great.
It was really, and it makes, and it gives us something to watch for the next game.
Yeah, totally.
So, on that note, guys, next weekend, Canada's playing
against Belize.
Belize, that's going to be a good one on Friday night. So, please get tickets for that. And then Toronto's in Seattle the next night. I plan on watching that game. So, hopefully, through the long weekend, the next episode we post it up. And either way, there could be two. A Canada and a TFC podcast coming down the pipe. So thanks for listening. We'll leave it at that, and we'll catch you guys next time. We want you to get involved. Reach out to us on Twitter at Red Nation Online, or by email at info, or have your say at rednationonline.ca. Get in touch with us. Let us know how you thought the team did. Agree, disagree, it doesn't matter. Also, check out our other podcasts on Red Nation Online, From the Black Hole, Ours is the Fury, the Footy Roundup, and our interview series. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Bring it on.